Last Shabbat, at about this time, allowing for time differences between here and Europe, I was speaking in a synagogue in Paris. They have a good kiddush in Paris, by the way. And at the synagogue, which is called Adat Shalom, which is a Masorti, a conservative synagogue, right near the Eiffel Tower in Paris, I thought I have to begin in some way as to make them not despise an American rabbi who's coming on the very day that the case against DSK was falling apart and all of France was disliking America. So I said I'd like to begin with one of your great sages, Voltaire, who when he was exiled to England and knew, remember, that England and France were enemies for hundreds of years, throughout the Middle Ages, he knew that he had to win the sympathy of the English, so he stood up on a soapbox, and as the crowd gathered around to see this famous Frenchman, he said, spreading out his arms, "Pity me, for I am not English." So I betrayed my country. I said, "Pity me, for I am not French." And once the French translator translated that into French, then I could talk with them about the differences. What was better, what was worse, the way in which we read and practice the tradition and the way they do. But I also think that we have to say, to some extent, pity the Europeans, for they are not Americans. Because the night before, as we walked across the Seine to Shabbos dinner, our host said to us, "You know, in Paris, we don't walk with a kippah." And I realized that the legacy of the 20th century and the increasing legacy of the 21st century weighs heavily on our people in ways expected and unexpected. Because at the same time as the established communities of Europe, in England, in France, to some extent in Italy, are feeling a renewal of the discomfort that they felt a long time ago, the reverse process is also happening in unexpected places. I don't know if you know what a Moshe house is, but a Moshe house is a house where a group of young Jews, college age, sometimes a little bit older, decide they will live together and they will observe communally the Jewish traditions, whatever they do individually. So a Moshe house is kosher. They will light Shabbat candles together and have a Shabbat dinner, and then they'll do whatever it is that college students do. Believe it or not, in Budapest, Hungary, I visited the Moshe house. In Hungary, of all places. And there, between 20 and 30 young Hungarian Jews talked to me about their stories and how they got there and what they want to do and the kind of Hungary they want to build. And I told them the story of Lord Randolph Churchill. I said, "You know, I'm off to England, and when I'm there, I'm going to visit the Churchill Museum. So let me tell you a story about Randolph Churchill that applies to you." Randolph Churchill was Winston Churchill's father. And once he was sitting next to a woman at a dinner, and she said, "Whose descendant are you?" Because after all, in England, it's all about yichus. It's all about who you come from. And actually, Lord Randolph Churchill had a very famous descendant, the Duke of Marlborough. But he didn't answer by saying who he came from. He said, "Madam, I am not a descendant. I am an ancestor." And he turned out to be right, since his child was Winston Churchill. But I said to these young Jews, you may think that you're descendants, but you're not, your ancestors. Because whatever will come to Hungarian Jewry after you, whatever this place will be, it's because you will build it. Your parents didn't build it. Your grandparents didn't build it. And whatever they may have built is long since gone. It's entirely up to you. So I said, I hope that you will be worthy ancestors because your descendants need you. And all through Eastern Europe, there is, believe it or not, a new generation of ancestors. And the Masoreti movement is helping to teach them how to create a Judaism that is open and intellectually honest, where you can be educated at university and still pray in a synagogue like this. And it is a beautiful thing to see, and you hear extraordinary stories, one of which I shared with those of you who were at Friday Night Live last night, but let me repeat it, even though I know that some of you were there. I was told by a rabbi about a woman who came to him and she wanted to learn about her Judaism, and he said, tell me your story. And she said, well, a couple of years ago, I was sitting in a restaurant and I heard a couple of people talking in a language I had never heard before, but somehow I understood the language. So I went over to them and I said, what language are you speaking? And they said, it's Yiddish. And she went home to her mother and she said, why do I understand Yiddish? And her mother began to cry. And she said, because your grandmother, before she died when you were 3 years old, would only speak to you in Yiddish. Because what your grandmother wanted you to know is what I've never told you, which is that we're Jewish. And so she found her way to the rabbi and found her way back. The story is special, but it is not unique. All through Eastern Europe, almost in a repetition of what has happened for generations in Spain, Jews are not only rediscovering their Judaism, but they're rediscovering that they were Jewish and are Jewish. And they're looking for Jews who can speak their language to help revive them and bring them home. In Western Europe, you have some of the same stories and many of the same struggles. What's going on in Paris and in London? This is a Jewish story where Jews, on the one hand, attain great heights. I mean, don't forget, whatever his faults may be, and they seem to me probably to have been considerable, Dominique Strauss-Kahn was probably going to be the next president of France, and he was widely known to be Jewish. In England, similarly, Jews attain great heights of political and economic and literary position, but at the same time, they are keenly aware that they're both inside and outside, that they are both part and separate from the English and French communities. And this is a unique blessing that America has given us. It's not because Americans are intrinsically better than other people. It's not because America has this wonderful constitution. What makes America different is that America is a country built on an idea and not an ethnicity. So that years ago, when a bomb went off in Paris, the president at the time could say, French people and Jews were injured. Because in his mind, the French were like him. And the Jews, even though they may have lived in France for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they were separate. But in America, there is no essential American ethnicity. We are a collection of minorities. We're built on an idea, not on a specific people. There are Jews, to be sure, but there are Hindus and Muslims and blacks and whites and Hispanics and Native Americans and on and on and on and Asians. It doesn't end. So we're part of a mosaic which makes it different from those countries where they feel they have a fixed collective identity and the Jew is other. And this is even apart from the Muslim influence in Europe, which grows greater and greater. So we have to be aware not only of our blessings, but also of our responsibility to help seed and support Jews throughout the world who are, after all, carrying on the collective voice that so many of our ancestors spoke for so long. This morning, in Parshat Balak, you have that famous statement by Bil'am that we quote over and over and over again in our tefillot, in our prayers. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. But you know what the rabbis say about that phrase. Notice that when it is a tent, when it is a dwelling, when it is impermanent, when you're moving through, then it's Jacob's. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov. Jacob owns the tent. It's only when it's a mishkan, when it is permanent and when it is sacred, that you get to be called Israel. Mishkenotecha Yisrael. In America and in Israel, we get to be Israel. We get to feel that this is our place. And no one can dislodge us. But throughout the world, that sense is tenuous and ephemeral and imperiled. And I urge you, when you travel, be sure to visit the synagogue and to give chizuk, strength to the community, and to help support Masorti efforts not only in Israel, but throughout the world. Because our sisters and brothers need us. Again and again, they would say how wonderful it is that you came to visit. And by the way, how overjoyed I was that some members of Sinai Temple, who were in Paris at the time, came to synagogue to join me. And we got to celebrate together and to feel how grateful and blessed we are to sit in a mishkan like this. When I told people in Hungary and in Paris that on a Shabbat morning we get hundreds and hundreds, up to 1,000 people, they were shocked and almost disbelieving. For us, we may take it for granted. For them, it is a miracle on the scale of the talking donkey in this morning's Torah portion. Something astonishing, otherworldly, and that has to be seen to be believed. So I hope some of them will visit us too. I invited them to come and tell us what they're building in London, in Paris, in Hungary, in Poland, in Romania, all through what once was a desolate world. The two truths of Jewish history that have been enacted again and again and again is that there are destructions, but there is no final destruction. the green shoots of the Jewish tradition rise again and again in the blasted landscapes of the places from which we have been killed and exiled. And as I sat there in Budapest talking to young Jews whose parents were communists and knew nothing of Torah, of Jewish history, of Jewish teaching, I realized anew that Bilam's blessing still holds, that we are still building dwelling places all over this world to house that fragile but ultimately indestructible Jewish spirit, so that one day there might be a Mishkan there. And once again, throughout the world, not only will Israel serve as a beacon, but also we will have a worldwide community to support Eretz Yisrael, our true Mishkan, our central home. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevazeh, the rabbis teach us, all of Israel is responsible for one another. As long as we take care of each other, as long as we care for one another, then we will never lose our mission of spreading our story, our songs, our words, our wisdom to the world in all the languages we speak. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, because the Torah begins in Jerusalem, but it spreads all over God's beautiful and blessed world. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.